For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, Agat Mechaydish. This month needs no introduction. Sometimes you have to look for what to talk about when it comes to a particular month. There really is so much to talk about the month of Nisan, including today's date, which so much in Chumash...
April 1st.
That also. So much in Chumash, that goes without saying. That's the first thing. It goes without saying. The pasuk HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hu Lachem, Lachodshei Hashanah. This is the Rosh Chodesh of all Rosh Chodashim, the mother of all battles. This is the Rosh Chodesh of all Rosh Chodashim. The Shaloh HaKadosh tells us that the entire month of Nisan is like one big Rosh Chodesh. Today's shir is dedicated to Ilui Nishmas Yechiel Michal ben Harav Menashe and Refu Shalema for Yehuda Arya ben Rachel and for all those who could use a Yeshua, each in their own situation. And actually, this is hinted, what the Shaloh says, that the entire month of Nisan is like one large Rosh Chodesh, in a pasuk in Parashas Pekudei. In Parashas Pekudei, when the Torah talks to us about the construction of the Mishkan, which today was also the day in which the Mishkan was put up for the first time permanently at that time, says the pasuk, B'yoyim ha-chodesh ha-rishayim be'echad la-chodesh. The language of this pasuk is a little difficult. In the day of the first month, on the first day of the month. It should have said, on the first day of the month, in the first month. So this pasuk is hinting to us, as we know, the first 12 days of Nisan correspond to all the 12 months of the year. Today corresponds to the entire month of Nisan, tomorrow to Iyar, and the Gimel is Sivan. So, B'yayim ha-chaydesh ha-rishayim be'echad la-chaydesh. The first day of the month is the entire month. Because this month in general is the Rosh Chodesh of all Chodashim. Now, the Sfarim tell us, based on the famous Gemara, whether the world was created in Nisan or in Tishrei. There's a dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. B'Nisan Nivra Ha'olam, B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. And Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah tells us that they're both true. Hashem made the decision to create the world in Tishrei. All of Machshava, Libros as Ha'olam B'Tishrei. Bereshis is the letters Aleph B'Tishrei. But the actual creation was in Nisan. That's what Tosfos says. The Arizal, based on that, the Arizal says this is the reason why we observe Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei rather than in Nisan. Really, today should be Rosh Hashanah, if today is the actual creation of man. When we say Tishrei Nisan, we mean the day that Adam was created. Was Adam created Aleph B'Tishrei, or was he created Aleph B'Nisan, which is today? So Tosfos says it was really today. Tishrei is only when Hashem made the decision to do it, but he actually did it today. So why do we go to Shul Rosh Hashanah? Why is that Yom HaDin? So the Arizal says, as Rashi really quotes Chazal at the beginning of Bereshis, B'tchila Ola B'machshava Livrois Es Ha'olam B'midas HaDin. The first thought, the initial thought, Kaviyachol of Hashem, is Din. The Machshava first was Midas HaDin. Then later Hashem turned around the Midas HaDin to Midas HaRachim. The Torah starts off Bereshis Bara Elokim. Elokim is Din. Then later it says, B'yoyim asois Hashem Elohim Eretz v'shamayim. Yudkei vavkei Elohim. Meaning, the actual creation was done with Rachamim. But the initial thought was with Din. So when is Yom HaDin? Yom HaDin is when Hashem thought to create the world, because that is the time for Din. Now is the time for Rachamim. So Svarim write that just like we have Aseres Yemei Tshuva in Tishrei, and which is a time for doing tshuva, the first 10 days of Nisan are also time to do tshuva. The difference is that in Tishrei the tshuva is done out of fear. Now the tshuva is done out of love. On Yom Kippur we bring 2 goats. One of them gets thrown down a mountain. On the 10th day of Nisan, the Torah tells us, Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were commanded to take a sheep. Not to throw any animal down a mountain, but to take a sheep and to bring a Korban Pesach. And the Ramban and others explain the reason why the goat had to be sent down a mountain. That's a gift to the Satan. It's a gift to the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara prosecutes. It's a time of din. We give him a goat. The goat has all the Averis of Klal Yisrael on it, and then the goat is thrown down the mountain. It's called the Sotir La'azazil. That goat is sort of a gift to the Satan. But on the 10th day of Nisan, there's no need to give the Satan a gift, because the month of Nisan is a month of rachamim, it's a month of mercy. It's a time we do tshuva, but we do tshuva out of love. Not out of fear, but out of love. And therefore, it's days of rachamim. One of the ways that this is indicated is by the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Nisan. The combination of Hashem's name for the month of Nisan is the only combination of all the 12 combinations that Hashem's name is straight. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yismuchu Hashomayim V'Sogeil Ha'aretz. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei. When Hashem's name is straight, that indicates mercy. When it's backwards or not exactly straight, that's din. The combination of Hashem's name for Tishrei, for example, is Vayiru Osa Sorei Faro, the last letters, is Hashem's name backwards, and it's the last letters, that's din. It's interesting to show, though, that both of these times are days of tshuva, are times for tshuva and times for the creation. These two combinations are exactly equal to each other. Yismuchu Hashomayim V'Sogel Ha'aretz is 1494, and Vayiru Osa Sorei Faro is 1494. That means the combination of Hashem's name for Tishrei and the combination of Hashem's name for Nisan are equal to each other, which tells us that there's a parallel between Tishrei and Nisan. It's just that Tishrei is din, Nisan is rachamim. So let's get a little bit into the month of Nisan. It happens to be that because it's a leap year, was a leap year, we read this week Parshas Metzora, and we read it by itself, because usually Tazria and Metzora are read together in a Shana Pshuta, and that would be after Nisan, as we enter the month of Iyar. But because it's a leap year, so things are a little different. Vayakal Pekudei was separated, and we read Metzora now, and we read Acharei before Pesach, and Kedoshim after Pesach. That's how the calendar is set up. So the Hashgacha Pratis this year is being delivers on Tuesday of the week of Parshas Metzora. And in a leap year, we read Metzora as we enter the month of Nisan. Now, what's very unique about the Parsha of Metzora is it's one of the few Parshias that end not with a very pleasant ending. Normally we have a rule, it's supposed to end with something good, with something comforting, and those Megillas and Tanakh that don't, so we repeat the pasuk before, so you shouldn't end with something ra. And yet Parshas Metzora ends with Va'asher Yishkav im Timeya. Talks about Va'adava Benidasa, a woman menstruating, Va'adava Zoivai, and a man who has a flow. Ule'ish asher yishkav im temeya, concerning a man who lies with a contaminated woman. That's how we end the parasha. Not a very pleasant way to end the parasha. And especially as we get ready for Pesach, as we enter the month of Nisan, the month of Rachamim, the month of Geula. So that itself requires an explanation. Now, Parshas Metzora talks about a Metzora. The name Metzora, we all know a Metzora is, as they translate in English, a leper. If that's the right translation or not, I don't know. But it's someone who has tzaras. Someone who not only has an infliction, a skin disease, as we call it, a discoloration, which shows us who he is, because it comes because of sin, and the Medrash enumerates 10 sins that the punishment is this tzaras, infliction of tzaras. The Metzora, more than any other sinner, has to leave all 3 machanos. He cannot be, forget about Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, he has to leave the entire Machane Yisrael. So Badad Yeshev, as we had in the parasha last week, no other Tameh is Meshulach Michutz L'Shalosh Machanos like a Metzairah is. So the Metzairah, whether he likes it or not, his situation decries, his situation tells us who he is. His situation tells us this is a gossiper, this is an arrogant person, this is a divider, this is a person who's out of the Jewish camp. And the name of the parasha, as we enter the month of Nisan, is Metzairah. In fact, in some communities, they don't even call this parasha Metzairah. It's called Parashas Tahara. Because the name Metzairah itself is negativity. We don't want to say the negative. We don't want to say the word Metzairah, so we call it Parashas Tahara, especially as we'll soon see that the parasha really speaks to us about the purification of the Metzairah. So as we enter the month of Nisan, we are learning Parashas Metzairah. And in the parasha we read how two birds, shtei tziporim chayos tahoros, two kosher birds that are not shreifa, are brought. One is slaughtered, the other one is sent away, and the live bird together with eitz eres ve'ezov are dipped into the blood of the slaughtered bird, and it's sprinkled on the Metzairah, and the Metzairah, after a while, goes through all this purification, and he becomes tahor. We also see that the Torah talks to us about oil, something we find by a Metzairah. We do not find this by any other contaminant. That so much oil, there's such a mention of oil over and over again in the parasha, the loik shemen, and it's poured into the left palm of the Kohen, and the Kohen dips with his right finger into the left palm, and it has to be put onto the thumbs and the toes, and then it's put on his head. Why does the Metzairah have to go through so much, besides having blood sprinkled all over him? Now it's oil all over him, and oil, we all know, we talk about liquids, oil is the highest liquid, oil is the liquid that's used to anoint kings, to anoint the Kohen Gadol. Mashiach is referred to the anointed one because he's anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, and the Metzairah, throughout his purification process, has to go through all of this topic of oil over and over again, the Loik Shemen. Now today's portion of Chumash, for those who do the Chumash every single day, based on the way it's divided weekly, talks about a Metzairah, but a Metzairah who not only he's a Metzairah, he's got another problem, he has no money either. So, you know, two people are considered dead. A Metzairah is considered dead, and someone who is poor is considered dead. So he's dead twice. So, v'imdalhu ve'ein yodai maseges. We're talking about someone who's poor, and his means are not sufficient. So the Torah says he's also required to go through the purification process, but we alleviate it for him. He doesn't have to be three animals, he brings one animal. Instead of bringing the other two animals, he brings two birds, shtei toirim, two pigeons. But again, with the oil, the Torah repeats over and over again with the oil and exactly where the oil is placed, on the left hand of the Kohen, that one Kohen, the right finger, and dipping here and dipping here, over and over again. Zayis Torah Hashabai Negat Saras Hashalai Sasig Yodai B'Taharasai. This is the law of a Metzairah who doesn't have sufficient funds, but he also has to go through purification, and he merits purification. Okay, so what do we learn from all of this, and the fact that the month of Nisan begins as we read this parasha? Now, this week is the Haftarah of very famous lepers, the four Mitzayroim, the Arba'a Mitzayroim Hoyu Pesach Hashar. There were four Mitzayroim. Who were they? Chazal tell us who they were. Gehazi and his three sons. Gehazi was a student of Elisha. And if you paid attention to the Haftarah last week, Elisha was a Navi, in some ways even equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, in certain ways, Chazal say, Navi Mekir B'chami Akecha Kamayni, that's Elisha, as the Medrash says, and he performs many miracles, double the amount of miracles that Eliyahu does, and he has a student, Gehazi, but Gehazi is not on the same level as Elisha, but you can imagine that if he was a student, he must have been very, very great. And the general Naaman, who was the general for the Syrian army, who had taken a Jewish girl into captivity, the whole story of Navi there, then he had saras. He was a leper, and he went to all the dermatologists in the world. No one can give him a cure. No creams, nothing helped. So he was told by this captive, there's a Navi, there's a prophet, a miracle man, he can do miracles for you. So he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he encounters Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even go out of the house. Elisha just sends a message, tell him to immerse in the Jordan River seven times. He doesn't want to do it. He feels humiliated. I come all the way here to go immerse in the Jordan River. We got the most beautiful rivers in Damascus. That's where he comes from. But he does, and he becomes completely healed. And he wants to give Elisha a gift, and Elisha doesn't want to accept it. It's a chilul Hashem. So he doesn't. Gehazi runs after him to receive the gift, And Elisha's very upset with Gehazi. Gehazi comes back. He doesn't tell the truth to Elisha, but Elisha's a novice, so Elisha knows what happens. And Elisha curses Gehazi that Sora'as Nahamon Tidbak Becha Uvizaracha Ad Oila. You and your children will now have the infliction of a Naaman. That Saras, that Naaman just that was healed, is going to go into you. And in your children forever. That sounds like forever, meaning that there's no tikkun, there's no rectification for Gehazi and his sons. They are the four Mitzrayim that are here in the Haftarah this week, and they're standing by the entrance of the city. They can't come in because they have to be Michutz Lamachana. And if you remember the whole story, that there was a hunger, and the Navi proclaimed that there's soon going to be so much food that it'll be so cheap. And the Shalish that's standing there, who doesn't believe it, scoffs, mocks, makes a mockery out of it, and Elisha says, you'll see it, but you won't be able to eat from it. Later he gets trampled. That's how the Haftarah ends. He gets trampled and he dies. And these four individuals, who Elisha cursed that they will remain leprous forever, which the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kuf Zayin, that Gehazi is among those who has no Olam Haba. Ein lohem chelek lo'olam haba, that's Gehazi and his three sons. Yet, through them, the Haftarah this week tells us how they were the ones who informed Klal Yisrael of a miracle that occurred. The Aramiyim, the Syrians, thought they heard a commotion, they thought they heard a loud noise, they got scared, they thought they were being attacked, they all fled, they left everything intact, all their food and drinks and animals and wealth, and they just ran away. And these four Mitzrayim who felt helpless, they had nowhere to go, they decided they'll just hand themselves up, they'll surrender to the Syrians. When they came into the camp, they see nothing's there, there's food, there's water, there's so much, and they begin to take for themselves, and then they realize, why are we doing this for? Let's let our people know. And they run and tell Klal Yisrael, and as the Pasuk says, Yoyim B'soyrahu, what a great day this is, a day of great news. There's finally food. The king is skeptical about it, and then he sends messages, and then they see it's true, and whatever the Navi said happens to the T, exactly what Elisha says. There's so much food, and then the one who doesn't believe it gets trampled and he dies. That's the Haftarah this week. What does that have to do with Nisan? What does that have to do with the Yom Tov of Pesach that's coming? Every month, as we mention all the time, has a specific letter that it was created with. The month of Nisan is the letter He. It doesn't say for Yetzirah, Himlech Ois He Besicha. That means every month has a letter, and every month has a mode. The letter of the month of Nisan is the Hey, and the mode is speech. Every month, next month, Iyar, for example, is thought. Sivan is walking. Tammuz is seeing. Av is hearing. And Nisan is speech. Every month is represented by another Shevet throughout 12 months, throughout 12 Shvatim. The month of Nisan, the first month, Rishon Hulachem Lachotche Hashana, this is Yehuda. Yehuda traveled first. Yehuda is the king. Nisan is the king of all the months. Hachodesh Hazel Lachem. Lachem is letters Melech. So what exactly does speech and the letter He and Yehuda have to do with the month of Nisan? Every month has a mazel. The mazel, zodiac, of the month of Nisan is Tleh. Tleh is the lamb. A remnant to the Karban Pesach. Klal Yisrael is like a seh, redeemed from the donkeys. The Egyptians are compared to the donkeys. That's the mitzvah of Pidyon Aben. So the mazel of Nisan is mazel Tleh. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, first Mishnah, Be'echod b'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah, l'melochem, v'liragolim. That means today, not only is today Rosh Chodesh, and as mentioned before, it's sort of Rosh Hashanah too, because the really Adam was created today, but today is from the four Rosh Chodeshim that the Mishnah refers to as Rosh Hashanah. And what is today Rosh Hashanah for? Says the Mishnah, for kings and for Yomim Tovim, for kings and for holidays. Now, what exactly that means, the Gemara elaborates at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Malachim has to do with Shtarais, Regalim has to do with Baal Ta'acher. Halachically, that's what it's about. But of course, everything has many, many meanings, many, many interpretations. If we take a look at this statement just as is, that the first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings and for regalim. Now, one who doesn't know what regal really means will interpret regal as foot. So it sounds like we're saying the first day of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for kings and for feet. What does that mean exactly? The king is the head. The king is the Rosh, the Nei Yisrael, Rebbe stands for Rosh B'nai Yisrael. The Nasi, the leader. The Nasi stands for Nitzutzo Shel Yaakov Avinu. The Rosh, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim that the king is the heart of the Jewish people, the brain of the Jewish people. The Regel is the foot, that's the bottom. So the Mishnah is hinting to us something besides the literal meaning of the Mishnah that Echad B'Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings, Malchei Yisrael, and for the Yomim Tovim, which is called Regel. There's also something else being told to us here: King, Rosh, and Regel. That brings the question: why is Yom Tov called Regel? Does we ever stop and think for a minute? Why do we call our holidays feet? What is it? Pesach's a foot, and Shavuos is a foot, and Sukkot is a foot. Wouldn't there be a better word to use for a holiday than a foot? So, of course, right? One of the reasons is because that's when we go up, Aliyah L'Regel. It's interesting, though. We don't say Aliyah B'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel. It sounds like we're going up to the Regel. We're going up to the foot. It's by foot. You're being Ola Regel. Ola Regel. Shalosh Regalim Tachog Li Bashan. Rashi and Chumash translates Regalim as Pe'omim. That Regel means time. Like the donkey told Bilam, Lama Hikisani Zesh Shalosh Regalim. Why did you hit me three times? Regel could also mean time. But what else does it mean? Why do we call a Yom Tov a Regel? So perhaps we can answer all of this with the following idea. Yom Tov, every Yom Tov, is literally a time when even the lowest Jew has an aliyah. That's why we need a Yom Tov. Talmidei Chachamim and Tzaddikim, who live every day like it's Shabbos in Yom Tov. Every day by them is Torah and mitzvahs, and that's all they're doing. Not that they don't need a Shabbos, not that they don't need a Yom Tov, but they have it all the time. Like the way it will be in the future. Yom Shekulo Shabbos U'menucha L'chaya Olamim. But all of us need once a week to have a Shabbos. We need a Yom Tov every few months to have an Aliyah. Specifically those that have fallen to the level of Regel. So every Yom Tov is Aliyah L'Regel, literally. It's an uplifting time for the feet. It's a time when those who are not on the level of Rosh, those who are not on the level of Lev, those who are not kings, those who are not the heads of Bnei Yisrael, but rather the Ikvayim, the Raglayim, they have an Aliyah. And today, being the first day of the first month, which encompasses the entire month, which means Pesach is included in today's date as well, as mentioned before. In fact, today includes the entire month of Nisan. So it's the Rosh, it's the Rosh Hashanah of all the Yomim Tovim, which are included in Pesach, because Pesach is the Rishon, the Rosh of all the Yomim Tovim. In Pesach is included Shavuos and Sukkot. So if every Yom Tov is Aliyah L'Regel, and if every Yom Tov there's an uplifting and a tikkun, even for those who have fallen to the level of Regel, then certainly Pesach. Now, who does Pesach represent? Pesach represents Avraham Avinu. Now, Avraham Avinu is the first of the three patriarchs. He's the Rosh, he's the Rishon, the Rosh L'Maminim, and in him is included Yitzchak and Yaakov. He represents Pesach. In fact, most of the Psukim and Parshas Lech Lecha and Vayera that speak about the life of Avraham Avinu happened in the month of Nisan. The famous story in Parshas Lech Lecha, where we learn how Avraham pursues the four kings, which represent the four empires, the four Golios, that takes place Pesach by night, as we sing in the Niggun, the Leil Pesach, the Vayibach Tzi Alayla, the Niggun that is sung the second night of Pesach. In fact, most of the empires had their downfall in the month of Nisan, on Pesach, whether it was Bavel, Belshazzar was killed at that famous party and taken over by the Persian Empire. That's the night of Pesach. Haman is hung on Pesach. Other stories in Tanakh happen on Pesach. Sancheirav comes to see Jerusalem on Pesach, and him and his entire army dies overnight. That was also on Pesach. Pesach is the time when we experience, when we merit to see the downfall of all the nations, like Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the source of all the Goliaths, Kol HaGoliaths Nekrois Al Shem Mitzrayim, as the Medrash says, from the word Meitzar, tightening, tightness, constraints. Avraham runs after the four kings and conquers them on the night of Pesach. And the Torah tells us in Parashat Lech Lecha that he, by Yirdefeim Ad Chayva, he chases them until a place that's called Chayva. Rashi says it's done. Asher Misamoel Damasek, which is to the north of Damascus. So he goes till Damascus. That's where he encounters Eliezer. He goes to Damascus. Why is the Torah telling us that Avram went to Damascus? Gehazi, who we just spoke about, Gehazi, who is the Metzora, Gehazi and his three sons, who, according to the Gemara, has no Olam Haba, flees to Damascus. He went to Damascus. The Pasuk says, Vayelech Elisha Damascus. Elisha went to Damascus to bring him back. Lahachziroi b'shuva, to make sure he does tshuva. He goes to Damascus. Because Damascus is the source for Tzaraas. That's where Naaman lived. That's where, that Damascus meaning is the Zele Umazeh of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is called Mikdash. Mikdash is the same letters as Damascus. And Rashi tells us a number of times in Navi, in Shir HaShirim, and also in Zechariah, Kapitel Tes, that in the future, Yerushalayim will reach till Damascus. Asida Yerushalayim Shetispashet Ad Damascus. We say in the Hoshana Rabbah, in the Hoshana, Simi Ad Damascus Mishkan Isayach. No wonder then that maybe there's so much talk about Damascus recently. Mm. Because that's right, Damascus should be, we should be talking about Damascus. Very soon we're going to be there. It's going to be ours. Yerushalayim goes till Damascus. Yerushalayim is where a Metzora is not allowed to enter. In the Mikdash, a Metzora may not enter. So where does the Metzora go? He goes to Damascus. So Damascus, what Yerushalayim is in Kedusha, Damascus is in Tumah. And the sinners of Klal Yisrael, even if not geographically, physically, go to Damascus, but where they are is considered to be Damascus. And Avraham Avinu already goes to Damascus Pesach night, to bring back the sinners, to bring back the Mitzayroim, and those who we think that perhaps there's no hope for them. What about Gehazi? It seems like there's no hope for Gehazi. Or is there? So I'm going to read to you what Reb Tzadok HaKohen writes in two places about Gehazi and his three sons. And he writes, yes, the Gemara says that Gehazi and his three sons don't have any Olam Haba. But, he says, if they don't, then the great Yeshua that we read about in the Haftarah this week, that came about to Klal Yisrael, where they had food, who was the one who told Klal Yisrael, saved Klal Yisrael, who were the deliverers of the good news? Gehazi and his three sons. Hashem would not have used them to be the ones to bring the Yeshua. Megalgalin Schus al Yadei Zakai. From here, he says, we see B'shoiresh Yeshlehem Takona. And he quotes the Yerushalmi, that the Doshei Rishuma said that even though that the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin don't have Olam Haba, they do have Olam Haba. And many explain, no, who has the truth on it? Maybe the Olam Haba they were supposed to have, they're not going to have. What they're going to have? Shekol Shehu Mizera Yaakov. Anyone, if I may say, even Lapid. Shehu Kosher B'Shoiresh Hashem Yizbarech V'Amech Kulam Tzadik. If he's still alive, it's still the truth. And that's what the Tzaddik writes, and in the Sefer Tzidkas HaTzaddik, he goes further when he talks about Gehazi and his three sons, and he says here, Gehazi desired money that didn't belong to him. That's one of the averis that Tzaraas comes for. It doesn't say that Gehazi was a gossiper, but gossip is not the only avera that the punishment is Tzaraas. Tzaraas ayin, gassus haruach. Also, the Gemara tells us that Gehazi pushed away all the Talmidim. The Gemara says that when Gehazi was the pupil of Elisha, there were very, very few students in Elisha's academy. Because he held that if you're not perfect, similar to Rabbi Gamliel, who said, if you're not Toichei Kebaroi, you can't come in. So Gehazi was standing by the doorway, and you yes, no, you not. You don't. After Gehazi left, after Gehazi was kicked out, then it says that there was a multitude of students that came to Elisha's academy, because once Gehazi isn't there, they were all able to come back. So there was a certain gassus or ruach that Gehazi had. But he brings here, the Tzidkas HaTzaddik, that the chait of Gehazi was that he desired that which didn't belong to him. He ran after Naaman. Elisha doesn't want to accept the gift. What are you running after him to accept the gift? He wants the money for himself. But over here, you see, he rectified that, because here, he and his three sons could have taken all this wealth, amassed all this wealth that the Assyrians left behind for themselves, but they didn't. Instead, we read how Gehazi says to his children, we're going to sit here and we're going to take it all for ourselves, and we're not going to tell Klal Yisrael the good news. Right? This week's Haftarah, Metzorah. Now, we can't do that. Yoyim b'sayruhu, this is a day of good news. We're going to remain silent. And we're going to even wait till the light of dawn that we'll be considered sinners. Let's go right now and report to the king's palace and tell them the good news that there's food, and of course that, and after that the Yeshua comes. Says the Siskat Tzadik, that means that they have been rectified with the sacking his avon of desiring that which doesn't belong to him, because he didn't want it for himself. He wanted it for the rest of Klal Yisrael. And then he brings what the Gemara says, that Elisha went to Damasek to bring Gehazi back to do tshuva, and he does tshuva. So therefore, the Darshei Rishumo say that even Gehazi has tshuva. Ayat says in the pasuk, Saras Naman Tidbak Becha Uvezaracha Ad Oilam. Doesn't Oilam mean forever? Let's remember, in Parshas Mishpatim, we have that phrase too. The Mitzayra, the Eved Ivri, that doesn't want to go free, and he's pierced with a Marzeya, which is the same letters as Mitzayra, by the way. He's pierced with the Marzeya. And we say, you have to remain a slave ad oilam. It's not forever. It's till Yovel. When Yovel comes, you talk about b'shoifa gadol ubo ha'ivnim. When Yovel comes, even the worst, even those who are so far, have an aliyah, have a tikkun. And therefore, Gehazi and his sons will have a tikkun when Yovel comes. And that's tremendous chizuk for everyone, and no one here is like on that level certainly, but that's a tikkun for everyone and anyone, no matter where they're holding, as the month of Nisan arrives. This is a time especially for tshuva me'ahava, and it's not a time of din. There's no din now. It's interesting, yesterday you literally saw it. You could even, yesterday in the morning, it was snowing. You walked out yesterday and it was freezing, it was snowing. You said, oh, another snowstorm? Like, wow, this is not going to end. We're just going to have snow straight till August, it looked like. And within hours, the weather had changed so drastically that you were able to walk out without a jacket. It was in the 60s already. Total turnaround from din to rachamim in such a short time. As we enter the month of Nisan, Yismuchu Hashamayim V'Sogei La'aretz, that's the combination of Hashem's name. It's rachamim, it's chesed, there is no din, but these are days of tshuva, and these are days where we can totally transform ourselves, even those who are like Gehazi and his sons, even someone who's a Metzoyra. In fact, that's what the Parsha talks about. The Parsha speaks to us about a Metzoyra b'yayim taharasai, the day that he becomes pure. The day that he becomes pure, he is allowed back in. V'yotza ha'koyin el mechutz l'machana, v'hine nirpa nega hatzora'as min hatzorua. The tzoras, the infliction is healed. He is no longer a mitzora. He deserves to come back to Yerushalayim. That's why the words v'hine nirpa nega hatzora'as is exactly the gematria of Yerushalayim ir hakodesh. He's allowed back in. He can come to Yerushalayim. He doesn't have to be in Damesek anymore. Avram Avinu went all the way to Damesek. Avram, who represents Pesach, went all the way to Damesek with the intent that later, whenever there'll be a Jew, Rachman al-Islam is going to be affected by Damesek, there should be a tikkun for him too. Parshas Mitzayra is the tikkun for even those, and the Haftarah, which talks about the four Mitzayroim, who are standing by the Pesach. They're begging to be able to come in. They're standing by the entrance. That means Gehazi and his sons are just begging, please accept us again. There's a tikkun for them too. Those three words, Asher Misamoyel LeDamesek. The only time in Chumash that it ever says Damesek is in Parshas Lech Lecha. That happened Pesach by night. Asher Misamoyel LeDamesek is the gematria of Parshas Mitzayra. Parshas Mitzayra, that's this week's Parsha, is the tikkun for those who are in Damesek spiritually. Elisha goes there to get Gehazi. Avraham went there to bring back the lowest levels. And that night, Avram experienced a nace where all the four kings are conquered. Pesach by night, we go out of Golis. The word Metzayra is the same letters as Meitzar Ayin. Meitzar Ayin means that Tzar, the constraint of the 70 nations. When we're in Golis, we're compared to a Metzayra. We are out of Yerushalayim. As long as there's sinas chinam and lashon hara among Klal Yisrael, as long as there's division and we're not united, we're in Golis. As soon as we rectify, v'hinei nirpa nega hatzaras min hatzarua, we go back to Yerushalayim or HaKadosh. What happens to the Metzayra in this week's parasha is what's going to happen to all of us, and the Gemara says that's going to be in Nisan. B'Nisan nigalu, u'b'Nisan asidin ligoyel. Now, we all know who Eliyahu HaNavi is. Not necessarily that we saw him, but we know who he is. We know his role. And that's what's going to be read, the Haftarah, right before Pesach. Hine anoichi shaleach lecham es Eliyahu HaNavi lefnei boyam Hashem ha-gadol v'anoriv heishav leiv avais alvonav leiv bonam alavaisam. When did Eliyahu HaNavi, his origin, where did it start? So the Zohar says that Nadav and Avihu, when they died, their two neshamas joined together and became the neshama of entered the body of Pinchas, and Pinchas is Eliyahu, according to some opinions. Not everyone holds like that. My point is whether Eliyahu is Pinchas or he's from Teshavei God or he's from Binyamin. Some say it's from a different shape, but that's what most opinions hold, that Pinchas is Eliyahu. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan today is the day that Nadav and Avihu died. And today is also referred to as the Yom Hashmini. Vayehi by Yom Hashmini. When you say Shmini, Shmini is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shmini could mean the eighth day of Pesach. It could be the eighth day of Sukkot. It could be the day of a bris, which is also called Yom Hashmini. But the eighth day that's referred to in Chumash, Rashi tells us first pasuk in Shmini, that's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's because it was the eighth day of the Miluim. That's when they inaugurated the Kahuna. That's when the Mishkan was put up for the first time. It's the Yom Hashmini Lemiluim. But clearly it is a day that is associated with the number 8. As we enter the month of Nisan, we enter the Olam Hashmini. Shmini, as mentioned many times, that's the number that's associated with Lemailim and Ateva. That's the number that has to do with that which defies logic. That's the number that has to do with the future. That's the number that has to do with supernatural miracles. The whole month of Nisan, what's Nisan? Nisan means Nisan, miracles. It starts with a Nun. It ends with a Nun. You can get better than that. So it's Nisan, Nun, Yud, Samach, Nun. Begins with a Nun, ends with a Nun. The Gemara says if you see a word that in a dream that has two Nuns in it, Nisei, Nisan, Nasulo. Miracles of miracles, like the word Yoichanan. So the month of Nisan is the month of miracles. It's the month of Lamailam and Hateva. It's the month of which Yud Kei Vav Kei takes over from Elohim. Tishrei is Elohim, Bereshis Bara Elohim, Elohim Begamatria Hateva. That's nature. That's for the whole world. But Nisan, that's our month. Rishon Hu Lachem Lachodshei Hashana. Hachodesh Hazel Lachem, only for you, for Klal Yisrael. That's the number 8. The number 8 is the number that only we are related to. Because by a guy, there's no such thing as 8. A guy has 7 mitzvahs. The goyim are connected to this world, which is the world of 7. There are 7 colors. There are 7 notes of music. Teva is 7. But a yid is connected to a higher realm. That's the number 8. That begins today. Today is the Yom Hashmini. Today is the day when we enter into the Olam Hashmini. We enter into the world of 8. We enter into the Olam of Mashiach. Mashiach is referred to in the Gemara as the 8th of the Shmaina Nesichei Bnei Adam. Because he will bring us into, he will introduce us to the Olam Hashmini, as the Gemara says in Erechim, that in the future there will be 8 notes of music. Now we know that by a bris, Eliyahu HaNavi attends. Eliyahu is Pinchas. Pinchas is equal to Hashem's name 8 times. You take the word Pinchas and you multiply, Pinchas is 208. And the Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's 26. 26 times 8. That's 208, that's equal to Pinchas. So Pinchas Eliyahu. Eliyahu is the one who is associated with this number 8. That's why he attends every bris. Eliyahu Malach HaBris. That's what we refer to him. And he is the one who rids the world of Tzara'as. Tzara'as is sort of what keeps us in Golas. Tzara'as, that's the infliction, that's the Golas. That's why the 4 discolorations are compared to the 4 empires, or the 4 empires are compared to the 4 discolorations. Se'esa Pachas Baheres Mega Tzara'as. So that's why Mila is Doichet Tzara'as. A bris, Mila, circumcision, pushes away Tzara'as, which literally that means that if there's a Tzara'as, there's a discoloration on the Arla, even though it's Osir, Hisham Elohim Menega HaTzara'as, you're not allowed to cut off Tzara'as. But if there's a bris, you're allowed to cut it off. Mila Doichet Tzara'as. Eliyahu is the Malach HaBris. Eliyahu Malach HaBris is the Gematria Tzara'as. Because Eliyahu Malach HaBris is the one who's going to remove the Tzara'as. That's why you'll notice in the Parsha this week, Mitzayra, over and over again, what's the day that the Mitzayra is totally pure? The eighth day. Everything is the eighth day. The Mitzayra has to bring Shtei Tziporim Chayos Tahoris. 2 birds. Birds that chirp. Rashi says, birds that make a lot of noise, they chirp because he made a lot of noise. Because he spoke. He said things he shouldn't have said. He gossiped. He used his power of speech, which the power of speech is what differentiates us from the nations of the world, what differentiates a person from an animal. What's the difference between a person and an animal? An animal doesn't talk. A person does. Even though an animal is called a nefesh chaya, a person is also called a nefesh chaya. But if you look at the uncle, it's total different translations. Uncle is translates nefesh chaya of an animal as nafshon chaysa. What does he translate nefesh chaya of a human? Ruach memalala, a speaker, someone who talks. Goyim, of course they talk, but it's just babbling, it's chirping, it's not real dibur. Hakoyel kol yakov. Our koyach is with speech. We don't do anything only with speech. Davening, learning, our koyach is with the mouth. And the goyim use their hands. Sometimes we use our hands too, but our koyach is with the peh, with the mouth. That began in the month of Nisan. Because Nisan is the origin, is the beginning of Klal Yisrael. We start in Nisan. The world starts in Tishrei. Even the nations that the Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah, the Shonim, even for the Goyim, but for the Jews, for Malchei Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael, that's Nisan. So Nisan was created with the letter He. The letter He denotes speech, because it's Yodua, that speech has five, there are five parts to speech. There are some letters that come from the lips, some from the tongue, some from the teeth, some from the throat. It's called the Hei Moitzois HaPeh, the five origins of the mouth. The Hei Moitzois HaPeh. Hashem created the world with speech. Hashem doesn't have a construction company and workers who do work for him. He does it himself. And he does it B'dibur. B'dvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu. The Machshava, that was in Tishrei. The Dibur was in Nisan. So Hashem created the world with Dibur. And we, who are his children, and we are who his people, he expects from us also to utilize our speech, to elevate our speech, to sanctify our speech. So how interesting is that as we enter the month of Nisan, the Parsha talks to us about what speech can do. If you don't elevate your speech, if you speak negatively, if you speak disparagingly about others, you become a metzoira. You are expelled. Michutz la'machana, bada d'yeshev michutz la'machana. So the rectification for the metzoira is to elevate, to sanctify his speech. You sanctify your speech, you're no longer a metzoira. Nirpa nega hatzaras min hatzarua, you're allowed back in. The whole Yom Tov of Pesach is the Yom Tov of talking. It's called Pesach, the Arizal says. The mouth that talks. Pesach. Samachet means to talk in Aramaic. In Mitzrayim, we were in Golis. The Dibur was in Golis. Onos al pi ha-dibur. We couldn't talk. It says they weren't able to daven, they weren't able to praise Hashem. We get out of Mitzrayim, now we're able to talk, now we're able to praise Hashem, we say Shira, Haz Yashir, that was also in Chodesh Nisan, that's Shvi Shal Pesach, the Dibur is no longer in Golus. So that's why the mode for the month of Nisan is Sicha, speech. This is the month of speech, the month that was created with the letter Hey. V'hi Bara'am, Hashem created the world with the Hey. So Yodua too, not to get too Kabbalistic, but the last letter of Hashem's name is a Hey. And that's the letter that Hashem created the world with, and the Hey is Keneged Malchus, those who know that Hashem's name represents the Esser Sfirois. The Yud is Chochma, the Kutzei Shalit is Keser, and the Hey is Bina, the Vav is from Chesed till Yesod, and the Hey Achroin is Malchus, Malchus Peh. Hashem created the world with Malchus, with Peh, with Dibur, and that's why we, his people, do everything with Dibur. The mitzvah of the night of Pesach is Dibur, the Higadita Levincha. There's no other Yom Tov where there's a special mitzvah, Midoi Raisa, to talk. It doesn't say anywhere Shavuos you have to talk. It doesn't say on Sukkot you have to talk. Even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's a davening, but I'll talk. Of course we do, but there's no mitzvah in the Torah straight out, one of the 613 biblical commandments to speak, except Pesach by night. The Higad to Levincha b'ayoyim ha'hule. There's a mitzvah to speak. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Peh, the Dibur. The Mitzvah didn't know that, obviously. The Mitzvah used his speech for the wrong thing. We, because of Lashon Hara, are still in Golus. Lashon Hara, gossip. Moshe Rabbeinu said when he heard Dasan and Aviram threatening to slander him to the government, Ochei no da hadavar, hadibur. It's all because of Dibur that we're in Golus. That was then, and that's now. So the tikkun, the rectification, how are we going to get out of Golus? How are we going to be redeemed? Ben Nisan asidin li'goyel. As we enter the month of Nisan, we are now in the month of Geula. We are in the month of the revelation of Mashiach. Mashiach is supposed to come in Nisan. The Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be built in Nisan. Tchias HaMeisim is going to take place in Nisan. We left Mitzrayim in Nisan. We entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time in Nisan. And it's interesting, too, that Targum Yonasan brings down that in the night of Pesach, V'esoeschem al kanfei nesharim, says the Targum Yonasan, you must get this from some measure someplace. Hashem flew Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, took them to Yerushalayim, and they brought the Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim, and then they came back. Interesting. They had a quick journey, and they came back to Mitzrayim, and there they had to make their journey afterwards on their own. And Hashem gave us a little taste, took us out of Mitzrayim, took us to Yerushalayim. This is where I want you to be one day. Took us back to Mitzrayim, and now you have to get to yourself. So the night of Pesach, so much happened that night. Avraham Avinu runs after the four kings. Hashem is smoiled amosek. Avraham Avinu is paving the way for the future. Pesach represents, Avraham represents Pesach. So whatever happens later with Pesach, Pesach being the yomtiv that we experience the downfall of all the nations, Avraham Avinu already had gone through that before. So with this we can understand what the Mishnah says. Be'echad v'nisan Rosh Hashanah le'melochim v'liragolim. The regel becomes a melech. The regel, even the one who is all the way down, the foot, becomes a king. What happened to us on the night of Pesach? On the night of Pesach, we all became kings. Kol Yisrael melochim heim. Kol Yisrael b'nei melochim heim. We went from the lowest, from being slaves. What could be lower than a slave? To experiencing freedom, dror, that's yovel, where we went all the way. Pesach means to skip over. Passover. Why is it called Passover? Hashem passed over all the steps. Normally you have to go from the 49th level of Tumah, 49 steps first to get out of the Tumah, then another 49 steps to get to the Shaar HaNun. We went all 98 steps in 1 hour and 1 minute. Pesach Hashem skipped over all the darkness and took us all the way to the top on Pesach. That's what happened to us from being an Eved, a Regel, becoming a Rosh. And that's what happens to the Metzora too. The Metzora is Nishtaleach Michutz Lamachana. You can't be worse than the Metzora who's out of the Jewish camp. Forget about entering it Beis Hamikdash, you can't enter Yerushalayim. And now what? Now he's allowed back into Yerushalayim, into the Beis HaMikdash, where he has to go. He must go into the Beis HaMikdash. He must enter, as the Pasuk says here, all the way up to the entrance facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's where oil is put on his head. Oil. Shemen, as mentioned before. Shemen, the putting of oil on the head, denotes anointment. We're anointing him. This Mitzayra, this lowlife, if we can go, at one point was so low, was like Gehazi and his sons, an Eved Ivri, an Eved Nirtza, someone who says, Ohavti es Adoni, es Ishtivi, es Bonai, lo Yetzai Chavshi, who the Torah says is an Eved forever, who Elisha said to Gehazi, Saras Naman, Pitbak Bechov, Zarach Ad Oilam. Now he's standing in the Beis HaMikdash with oil on his head. And the Torah makes a big deal out of it. And the Torah says, not only a rich Mitzayra, but a poor Mitzayra, v'imdal hu v'ein yodai ma'segas, which means spiritually, he's so poor, means he's so poor, beruchnius, he's not masik, he doesn't understand, he doesn't grasp anything. He too has a tikkun, he also has oil put on his head. He's no less, today's portion of Chumash, from Shlishi to Revi, that the dal, the ein yodai ma'segas, ash loy sasig yodai b'toharosai, Loi sasig yodai b'toharosai, those four words are b'tmatri Hashem ismail edamosek. The Mitzayra Oni, he's not only a Mitzayra, forget about an Oshri, he's a Mitzayra Oni, and he belongs in Damesek. He too now is back in Yerushalayim, back in the Beis HaMikdash, with oil on his head. And this takes place when Or Chodosh Al Siyoyim Toyu. We say it every day, for those who say it. Some Nusuf Ari doesn't say it, but those who say Or Chodosh, Nusuf Sfar doesn't say it either, but most Siddurim. Or Chodosh Al Tzion Ta'ir V'Niskech Ulanu B'Meher L'Oiroi. On Pesach night, we experience the Or Chodosh. Pashas Mitzayra is the gematria Or Chodosh Al Tzion Ta'ir. And that's the same gematria as Hashem Mismoil Damosek. And the same gematria as Loisatzig Yodai B'Toharosai. The lowest that are in this Pashas Mitzayra is the tikkun for the lowest Jews. Look at this Pasha. Mitzayra, Azov, Azova. And how does the Pasha end off? Asha Yishkavim Temeya, we asked before. Why does the Pasha end off so negatively? It's not negative. It's a Besura Toiva. That even he has a tikkun. The last letters of Ula Ish Asher Yishkavim Temeya is the letters HaMevaser. Who's the Mevaser? The Mevaser is Eliyahu. The Noyam, the Moire Nayim writes, Rabbim Shanabal, that when someone says good news, whoever it may be, Eliyahu actually enters that person's body. Eliyahu is the Mevaser B'soyrois Toivois. Eliyahu comes to every bris. Eliyahu who's going to usher in the Messianic age. Eliyahu is going to come together with Mashiach. Eliyahu is going to bring us into the Olam Hashmini. Eliyahu is the Mevaser. Yoim B'soyrohu. That means Gehazi and his three sons said good news. Eliyahu was in them. That's why they were redeemed. They were zeichet to a tikkun. This is the month of Eliyahu, because this is the month, this starts with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is the Yom HaShmini. Shmini has to do with Eliyahu. Eliyahu comes to the Bris. Bris Mila is Doichet Tzaras. So the Tzaras of Gehazi Ubanov eventually will be removed because of the Besura Taiba that they came to say. B'yoyim Taharasai. Zois Tairas Hamitzayra. B'yoyim Taharasai is B'gamatria Yoyim Mevaser. The Mevaser is Eliyahu. Eliyahu is the tying, the one who tying of good news. The good news is, as we enter the month of Nisan, we enter the month of Geula, the good news is, there's a Yoivel, there's hope. This is the month of Cheirus, this is the month of Deror. The Mishnah in the Goyim calls the two birds that the Mitzvah has to bring, Tzipor Deror. What does Deror mean? So Rav, let's explain, it means it's a type of bird that's free to fly wherever he wants. Deror, to live wherever he wants. Why does the Mishnah use the word deror? Because the Metzaira experiences deror. Deror, we all know, means emancipation. It says that by Yovel. Lukrosem deror ba'oretz l'chol yoshevehu. When Yovel comes, everyone has a tikkun. And it starts today. We've quoted this pasuk before. B'yoyim ha'chaydesh harishayin be'echad la'chaydesh. That whole phrase is the gematria yitoka b'shoifa gadoi l'bo'hoibim. Exactly, 1294, you're one of the numbers. B'yayim ha'chaydesh ha'rishon ve'echad ha'chaydesh. Today is equal to Yitoka b'shoyif ha'gadol uvo ha'ovdim. And where did it start? It started with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu went to Damascus. What does the next pasuk right after would say? Vayoshev eis kol harachush. Avram Avinu accomplished, even if we didn't see it at that time, he freed all the captives. He freed Lot. And who comes from Lot? Malchus beis David. The pasuk says, Vayoshev eis kol harachush. What does that mean in English? He brought back all the possessions. Well, what a week. So he brought back what? Suitcases of what? Well, that's important to know. What does it mean by Yoshev Eis Kol HaRechush? What's the Rechush? The Rechush of Klal Yisrael, the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael. By Yoshev, those four words also exactly. By Yoshev Eis Kol HaRechush is the Gematria. B'yayim HaChaydesh HaRishayim Be'echad LaChaydesh. Today. And it's also equal to the pasuk we just said. Avram Avinu accomplished a Yovel. Avram Avinu brought Yovel to the world. He brought Tikkun to the world. That even those in Damasek, he brought all the Rechush back. The pasuk says that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim with all the sparks of Kedusha. We, Klal Yisrael today, find ourselves in every part of the world. Every part of the world, Misham Yikabetzcha Hashem Alekecha, whether it's the Ukraine, whether it's France, whether it's Australia, wherever there are Jews, all the sparks of Kedusha will be gathered. Misham Yikabetzcha Hashem Alekecha, Misham Yikachecha. And this year we have a schutz to read Parshas Metzora, the Tikkun for all the sinners, the Tahara. It's called Parshas Tahara, that everyone, the Metzora, the Zav, the Zava, the Nida, all of them experience a Tahara. All of us are compared to that in Golus. All of us are going to get out. And that's why the parsha ends with Asha Yishkavim Temeya. And we ask, why does the parsha end with such negativity? Not negativity, on the contrary. That Asha Yishkavim Temeya is the Sefer Tevis Hamavaser. That the one who's Yishkavim Temeya also gets out. He's also part of this great parsha. He's also part of Klal Yisrael, the Amich Kulam Tzadikim. He's also going to experience a Tikkun. And even Gehazi Yubanov as well. So as this month, all the Svarim speak about the greatness of the first 12 days of Nisan especially, which represent all the 12 months of the year, this month being the Rosh of all the Chadashim. It's interesting that Bein Hasmanim, when you talk to Yeshiva Bachurim, you talk about how great a certain time is, but then you realize this is a time when no one's in Yeshiva, everyone's running around, okay, cleaning for Pesach, good things, buying suits. You know, you would think times like this should be the most concentrated times, that we should be totally immersed in Avodas Hashem and Torah and Tefillah, and yet the Yetzer Hara, the Baal Dover, brings all the distractions happen during these very, very great times. So we have to realize how great these times are and utilize them properly, and hopefully we'll all experience in Metz Hashem the Gemara, what the Gemara says, B'nisan nigalu, u'b'nisan asidin ligoyel, that we were redeemed in Nisan, and we will be redeemed in Nisan, especially this Nisan of the sixth year of Shemitah. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, B'shishas koilus, that the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle in which Mashiach is going to come, a lot of, it says koilus, noise, a lot of noise. Rashi says, rumor is that Ben David ba, situations, we don't know exactly what that means, but things happening, if anyone just listens to the news, it's very, strange, very confusing. No one understands exactly why in this part of the world this is happening, and in this part of the world that is happening, and the Goyim themselves are confused about it, because we're living in very, very big times. Things are happening, the world is shaking. Eretz Ra'osha Avshamayim, and preparing for the Gula. The Gula is about to come. We have to realize that and prepare for it and rectify the situation. It happened because of Dibur. We've got into Golas Onus Alpia Dibur. We'll get out Alpia Dibur today. There's a tremendous Sesairus of people all over learning Shmiras Haloshan and doing, which years ago no one really learned. They just didn't learn it. I have to learn about that. So big deal. So I gossip. Today there's a Zahirus, there's an awareness, because as we're getting closer to the Gula, Hashem is giving us a chesed. He's giving us a shefa from Shemayim that we should know and realize and appreciate what the Koyach HaDibur is. Not only Shmiras HaLashon from negativity, but that we should use our Koyach HaDibur for that which we're supposed to use our Dibur for. But it's like a utensil, a receptacle, a utensil, a clay shoreis. If it's soiled, you can't use it. So our mouths, we do everything with our mouths. We accomplish everything with our mouths, whether it's the davening and the learning. But if the mouth is used for other things, if the mouth is not clean, so how can we expect to accomplish anything with our mouths if it's just not the way to, it's not proper to serve Hashem with such a mouth? So that's why we have to have bedikas chametz and beer chametz and sreifas chametz. Get rid of all the chametz. The chametz, of course, is gaiva. The chametz is arrogance. That's, it rises. Chametz is all the evil. The yetzer is compared to chametz. Tzor shebeisu, the Gemara refers to him. The yeast that makes the dough sour. That's the yetzer hara. Tashbisu. Get rid of all the yeast, get rid of all the gaifa. That will rid us from the tzara'at, that will rid us of golus, and that will all be zaycha to zayis tayras hametzayra biyayim taharasai, that will all become tahar, v'huva el hakayim, and will all be zaycha to v'hine nirpa nega hatzara'at v'nat tzara'at. Every single yid, even the lowest yid, will, if he wants, be zaycha to a tikkun, and all of us should experience this Pesach and the Reich Al Sham and Azrachim Al Absachim in the proper place in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.